every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow.
Come on around back, Arizona. Saturday morning, 8 o'clock. It's Rosie on the House, your outdoor living hour, third Saturday of the month. We have Jay Harper in talking all things planting, garden related. If you'd like to talk about your landscape or garden, you can join the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text questions can be sent to 411-923. Or you can email us at info@rosieonthehouse.com. And if you have our home maintenance calendar, you can see there on November 20th, we're talking fall planting best. You know, this is fall planting is best. It's the best time to plant here in the great state of Arizona. And we'll be talking about all the things you can plant, how to plant. And we will get to all of that. But I have a couple things first. One, we are getting ready to mail out our next printing of our annual home maintenance calendar. This will be the fifth printing for 2022. We have the calendars. We're just getting ready to mail them. If you're not on, if you've received one in the past because you've asked for it, that's the only way you would get it, is either you asked us to mail it to you or you got it from one of our certified partners. You don't need to ask again. But if you would like to receive, we call it our homeowner handbook. And it talks about all the things we'll be covering in the broadcast, your weekly to-dos, keeping up with the home maintenance. And there's also promotional offers that our partners put in there. Great example. There's Pella's offering a $250 off pre-qualifying windows and $500 off qualifying doors. So there's also promotionals that our partners put in there. You can just let us know where you would like us to send that calendar. It's physical. It's paper. We mail it. Old-fashioned.
Yeah.
Just let us know. Send us an email.
Get something good in your mailbox.
Something you actually use.
Yeah.
info@rosieonthehouse.com. We'll add you to the mailing list, and we'll get those out the week after Thanksgiving. But the second thing I want to talk about is Jay. Stumbled across this concept of primary water. I sent it to you and all the hosts that come in for the Outdoor Living Hour, and just because I had never heard of primary water, what had you?
No,
what?
It was that totally a new concept to me. You might want to explain to people what we're talking about, but it kind of makes sense. I mean, I can see how. I guess not being a scientist, I don't know that, you know, but it kind of makes sense. But I have never, ever, ever heard of that terminology or that concept before.
Yeah. No. And what it is, and I don't even remember quite how I stumbled upon it. I've got a lot of different news feeds that I set up and monitor, and I've got different filters for water and weather and different topics I like to follow. And just something along there, and I'm like, primary water didn't even sound interesting. But for whatever reason, I'm like, I clicked through it to read it. And
probably you live in Arizona and you saw water.
Right. So the water cycle, as we've always been taught, is water's a very recyclable product. You know, it
renewable.
It flows out to the ocean, evaporates into the atmosphere, comes back down in snow and rain, and repeat. Some of it soaks into the ground, and we pump out as groundwater later. Some of it flows down the rivers and stream, et cetera. And that, you know, we've had the same amount of water constantly just being recycled over and over and over again. And that's the hydraulic cycle. Primary water states that, you know, water is constantly being generated by Earth. Below the crust and the mantle is 1 to 3 times the ocean's volume of water in steam form that the Earth is constantly creating, and it seeps up to the surface through cracks and fissures, and water is constantly being created. New water is constantly being created and added to the Earth. And one of the ways they explain this is Horton Spring. Explain Horton Spring. You know, if I took this glass of water and I turned it upside down, where's the water going to go? It's going to follow gravity and follow the floor. where's all that water coming from Horton Springs? I mean, it's not like there's this big pool of water above it in the mountain that's naturally flowing down. Well, that's all the steam and pressure from magma coming up through the mantle and in the crust. And this is new water being introduced into the water cycle. And it's just this constant stream because it's continuously being generated from inside the mantle.
It sounds like it makes sense. I mean, there's heat down there. I'm sure there's moisture would make steam. Let's hope we could go find a way to tap into some of it.
I guess sea springs would also qualify as well, wouldn't it?
Well, any water coming out of the ground, because if you're not pumping it mechanically, how else does it have that force to push it up?
Dumbfounded.
I guess I always thought that those springs along the base of the rim, like Horton and Sea Springs and countless others, probably was moisture, snowpack that fell on top of the rim that just kind of worked its way out through the side of it. But you guys are a lot smarter than I am, so we'll follow it along.
We'll be, talking a lot more about it because we were always talking about the solution to, refilling our reservoirs, and it's always been reliant on the snowpack and the rainfall and using less. Well, in this theory, you could just go, and there's a group, primarywaterinstitute.org. The gentleman's name is Paul, and he's following the work of a German scientist by the name of Stephen Riesch, who passed away in 85, 35 years ago. They've drilled numerous primary wells. It takes a lot of studying of the geology and finding the cracks and where you're likely to get that water coming out. Couldn't you just go along the Colorado River shed, punch, 100, 200, 300, and just let this water pour into the watershed and come down, and now we're not waiting on the rain and the snow cycle. We're just taking the primary water the earth is creating and flowing it into our river.
Or the flip side of that is if we introduced all that new water into this, what impact might that have?
And to never
water cycle.
And to never have a shortage. It's a lot to think about. So I love to talk about water and cover it. And that was
you're making my head hurt. Saturday morning.
So they've got a number of different locations on their website where they have drilled these wells, and it's pretty interesting. None of them in Arizona. He is trying to get the right kind of equipment to drill one on the Navajo land because there's a lot of places on that area they don't have access to water. A lot of them, until this year didn't even have power yet in a lot of areas. So very, very interesting concept. It could be a complete game changer and how we think about water and use water especially in the Southwest.
For sure. Keep us posted.
We'll do. Well, we're talking about fall planting is best. And we've talked about it the last couple of weeks,
Right.
Last couple of months, September, October, getting our gardens ready, getting the beds. It's not too late to plant anything at this point, is it?
The only thing I would be a little careful with would be things that are extremely sensitive to cold. Hibiscus, some of the real tropical things that might, if we do get a cold snap and if they're not well established before we get that cold snap, could succumb to that. So, just be a little cautious maybe with some of the really, and we don't have that many of those things. There's a handful. Hibiscus is the first one that comes to mind. That's probably one of the most super tender things that we plant as far as cold weather. That was interesting with your mic, just like a ghost in the room just pulled it down. Lantanas, bougainvilleas, somewhat tender. They generally recover pretty easily. Takes a really, really hard cold snap to damage those. But so just be a little conscious of what you're doing now. If you're somebody that puts things that we would consider maybe even indoor plants, those types of tropicals, and you use them outdoors in a few locations, those would be things you might not want to do. But other than that, no, we're still, you know, I mean, the days have been still relatively warm and warm enough, certainly to keep the soil warm enough to where things would still root. And that's the whole concept of why we want to plant as many things as we can in the fall, because the soil is staying warm. Soil and water do not cool as rapidly as the air or heat up as rapidly as the air. So they lag. So we're taking advantage of soils that have been warmed all summer and air that has drastically cooled, so that you don't have this stress on the plant's foliage and losing moisture into the atmosphere through pretty rapid transpiration and moisture loss due to high heat in the and dry air. And it's just a great combination. So the plant gets rooted, because plants have to root before they will grow foliage or limbs or stems anyway. So we get them rooted. They root all winter long. And then when the air does start warming again in the spring, they it's almost like they're supercharged because they've already been rooted. You're not waiting for them to root. You don't have to worry about watering as much. The stress from that can occur if a plant, you know, just you're a little late watering a new plant, it can make or break maybe the whole success of that planting. So it's just a great combination. And of course, planting trees, things that we want to get big and do the purpose of shading something or screening something, you're almost always too late doing that anyway. You can never buy something big enough to achieve what you want it to achieve anyway. So the longer you wait to plant a tree, you know, you're just delaying, you're losing time. So we want to get those planted as fast as we can. And as far as trees go, we don't have that many really super tender trees, jacarandas, orchids, maybe a couple varieties that you'd want to stay away from if it was super cold. But other than that, get planting. The thing we start bumping up against now, though, is holidays. People are busy. They're, you know, they're entertaining, they're shopping, they're traveling. You know, that can kind of, you know, there's only so much time in a day to get things done. So if you are trying to hire a contractor and want to get things done, good luck, period. And if you're trying to get them and want things done before like Christmas or something, I think you're probably too late.
I don't know any of our contractors that aren't booked through the holidays right now.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some cases, you know, some of our service guys, plumbers, electricians, but, you know,
yeah,
stuff where you've got to do like landscape drawing and you got to make the plan, get the permit. I mean, it's everyone's got plenty of work and is looking for more of it.
If they don't, there might be a reason you don't want to hire.
Very good point.